think we've all heard the saying that Australia rode to prosperity on the sheep's back. And if that's the case, I think that many of us fell off the back of the sheep a long time ago. The wool industry in Australia has declined in size quite significantly. The flock is reduced. And the reason for that, in large part, is that as an industry, we simply haven't value-added. That is, we've taken the wool off the back of the sheep, we've sold it at auction, and the wool's then gone offshore to be processed and has then come back as finished garments. And it seems to me that we have a natural advantage in this industry, but we haven't taken advantage of it. We've allowed others to come and to add value to, in other words, make money out of our wool, and that struck me as fundamentally wrong.
So when you started up Matt Sycar, was your aim to be able to take that initiative and value add to the industry locally in South Australia?
Absolutely. Australia's in the weird position that we make 90% of the world's fine apparel wool. In other words, we have a near monopoly, yet we make about 0% of the world's fine apparel. There are some academics who in the late 1990s did some calculations, and they followed a woolen garment through from the back of the sheep onto literally the shop shelf. And they found, dependent on the type of garment, that the wool grower in Australia was taking home around 2 cents in the dollar. That means that the other 98 is being made and presumably retained offshore. That's fundamentally wrong, and that is the reason that the industry's in the state of decline that it is. The aim is absolutely to value add.
So when you were starting out Matt Sycar, what was the first step in building your own supply chains?
We were very fortunate. We came across a wool grower who was prepared to back the brand and who had a flock of sheep that he'd bred genetically, which produced a particular type of wool. And this farmer believed firmly in the concept of value adding. He said two things. He said, first of all, I'm selling the wool on an open market. There are lots of sellers, people like me, other wool growers, but there aren't that many buyers. And I'm finding that I'm really a price taker rather than a price maker. So he said, for me, that's bad because I don't get to control my income and I can't plan ahead. Secondly, because I'm just selling the raw material, I don't get any contact with the end consumer because, as we all know, the wool supply chain is very long and complex. But if I'm denied that contact, it means that it's very, very hard for me to then adapt my flock and to tailor my output to meet consumers' needs. So he said, look, the closer I get to the end consumer, the better off I'm going to be as a wool grower.
That's really interesting, thinking about tailoring your practices when you're farming to thinking about a product that's received by the end consumer. Do you have any ideas of the sort of changes he's made to his farm in order to do that?
He's taken a lot more care with which particular bales of wool he sets aside. It's also differences, I think, in whether the sheep are what are called weaner sheep, in other words, sheep that have been shorn the first time. Their wool's very different. I think the timing of the shearing is also very important. But I think it's interesting because if you look at other agricultural dairy farming, for example, there's this burgeoning industry where people are buying and are very happy to pay a large premium for organic milk or milk that's, you know, grown in a particular way or milk that can be traced back to a particular farm. I think that's also very important. I think that when people buy a natural good, and I don't think we should lose sight of the fact that wool is a biodegradable, completely recyclable good. And I think that wool growers have, you know, I think there's a huge scope for profit there. And I think if you look at New Zealand, there's a number of brands there that have introduced systems which allow them to do exactly that. Consumers can actually use the barcode on the garment and they can determine where exactly it is the wool has come from. And I think that provides consumers with a backstory. And I think that's an important purchase driver.
Matt Sycar is targeting to a very specific market, men's wool apparel. Now, did you see a gap in the market there?
We see a huge growth market in Asia. There is a very strong interest in branded premium Western apparel. We are at the beginning of a huge pivoting in demand and change in consumer taste. In 2001, 1% of luxury consumers and premium consumers came from China. In 2014, that had risen to 31%. Within a few years, it's projected to 20 cities in the world where demand for luxury goods is growing fastest, 15 are outside traditional Western markets. And for the Australian wool industry, there is enormous opportunity in menswear, which is growing faster than women's, and there is enormous opportunity at the top end of the market.